Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story and share it with us. Of course, you can also write in at our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or send Jenny your audio files if you're recording them on your devices. And you do that, Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So many ways to get your stories to us. I always kind of chuckle a little bit because I say that all the time.
Yeah.
I share on the show 500 times an episode, like, how do you get your stories to us? And then it's just kind of funny when sometimes I get the email or the message on Facebook or the tweet. How do I share a story with you guys? It's like, either you haven't been listening very long, which I get. That's forgivable. Yeah. It's like, Okay. Although some I've seen where it's like, this person has like emailed me several times in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how are you missing this piece of the puzzle?
And you respond?
Yeah, I'm nice about it.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you do. And
but I mean, you respond and they still send that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like they forgot how to do
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I know like sometimes like, you know, it's like, well, I think I can like make an example of is like when I was a kid and my mom would tell me to do something and it just became like white noise,
mm-hmm.
you know? Maybe that's kind of what it can be like sometimes. It's like, you know, you hear it so often.
Sure.
It just becomes white noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, yeah, he does say that all the time. But I've heard it so many times, it doesn't even register.
Uh-huh.
So I could see that kind of being the case. So there you go. That's how you share your stories with us. It is the most wonderful time of the year. But the day that this is being recorded is actually the day after Halloween. I know this is airing well into mid of the month of November. But
yeah.
We did our trick-or-treating last night with the kids and had a good time. And it's amusing around here because this is like one of the Christmassy towns in the world.
Yeah, it is. It definitely in the U.S.
And literally on the way back from trick-or-treating, up in the mountains, you could see there's a place that does a huge Christmas display. Like literally they have a tower that you can zip line off of.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands out like... The Harper thought it was like one of the towers for one of the princesses.
It looks like Rapunzel's tower from Tangled.
So she thought it was that all year long,
mm-hmm.
and they make it into this Christmas tree. And we're just thinking, oh, well, you know, Halloween's going to be done pretty soon. It'll be kind of cool to go check out these lights around here. On the way home, I shit you not, on Halloween night, I'm like, oh my God, it is... all Christmased out.
Yeah.
They had all the lights on. The tree was lit. And I think I saw more Christmas decorations on Halloween than I did for Halloween.
Well, we knew which houses to skip by which sure. ones had the tree up and you could see it through the front window.
That too. That was interesting to me. Now, I totally get the commercial side of it where like the businesses have to, because it's bam, it's the season today.
Yeah.
Where it's suddenly Christmas. What did kind of surprise me was the amount of residential homes
mm-hmm.
that had like not one, or we were just like kind of getting started with the decorations. There's somewhere like two or three Christmas trees up.
But, you know, I can appreciate how much effort it is to do that, to go all out.
Sure.
So you want to enjoy it as much as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, I can see all November and all December, a lot of people doing that. Me, I'm lazy, so I'm going to get a little bit out at a time, and by Thanksgiving, it should all be up.
I'm ready to get going on it now that Halloween's done. I just, I have a little... issue. It's nothing big by any, but showing up at a house to trick or treat and there's like, you know, stockings hung with care by the fire and folks dressed up just like Eskimos, you know, right there as like trick or treat. Is it Christmas or Halloween? I'm
not sure.
No one handed out candy canes though, so I will give them that.
That'd be funny.
That we like, oh, these are really old. I do question some of the candy of how old it was just because it's, especially those peanut butter kisses.
Uh-huh.
The girls did get some. And they are saving them for grandpa.
Yep.
and grandpa can enjoy them because they're probably of the they're finally aged, I'm guessing, probably all the way back to the years that we were trick or treating. So anyway, good times there. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to our first callers here today. Lynn is calling in. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, guys. I have an interesting story for you that actually comes from my daughter, but also includes me as well. My whole family, all the women are sensitive. My grandmother was, my mother, my aunt are. My daughter has found the same thing in her DNA. And when she was younger, my daughter kept saying to me, "Mom, this girl keeps waking me up at night. She keeps shaking my bed." And she had one of those loft beds. So eventually we got to the point where we just got our floor bed. And she's like, "Well, now she keeps talking in my ear." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. Just tell her to go away." And I mean, I had known I was sensitive, but didn't really think anything about my daughter really being sensitive because I didn't realize that my mother was, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, after a while, it was getting kind of obvious that either she was just having really weird dreams or there was somebody in her room. And the weird thing is my daughter can sense people I don't sense and vice versa. It just depends on who they're trying to get the attention of, I think, sometimes. And there's times we both absolutely see the same thing and we know, you know, but there are times where one of us will have experiences with somebody and the other one won't ever see them. And I don't know if maybe because she was younger or, you know, I really don't know the whole gist of how it happens. I just know it does. Well, anyhow, she kept telling about this little girl. And I said, "Why don't you tell her, you know, at night when you're sleeping, she needs to let you sleep. That it's very important that you get sleep." And the little girl said, "But you're supposed to take me on a trip." And my daughter kept saying, "But I'm not going on a trip right now. So when I go on a trip, you can follow us, but we're not going on a trip right now." And, you know, so she didn't really see that much of the little girl. And every once in a while, a little girl would pop up and be like, "Are we going on the trip now?" And my daughter would be like, "No, we're not going on the trip now." And this happened from the time she was about 12 on. And so it just became a normal thing of, "No, we're not going on the trip today," you know, that kind of thing. Well, when she went to college, we thought, you know, maybe it would subside. And it was her freshman year of college. Both of us are very interested in learning and do a lot of learning about the Holocaust. It's just kind of a thing. My aunt was involved with research on the Holocaust, and through that, I learned about it. And it's just been something that I just find the reading very interesting, and I'm very touched by some of the, you know, with all the bad, there are still some amazing, beautiful stories, you know, in the middle of it. And just kind of, I like to try to find those flowers in the wasteland, I guess you would call them. So that's just something that we've always been interested in. And my daughter had taken a class on the Holocaust, and we had the opportunity to go to the Holocaust Museum in St. Louis. And we were very excited. You know, my daughter was going, so she said we could go with them. And I was like, "That's awesome." So we went. And my husband is very understanding of how I get weird sometimes. And he's gotten to the point now where he kind of can sense when stuff's going on because of how I'm going on. And there's been some just obvious times, too, where stuff's going on. He's like, "What is it?" Because he can't see it, but he knows it's going on. So we were in the Holocaust Museum, and my daughter said to me, "The girl's here." And I looked over, and I'm like, "She's not a real child that's here." She's like, "Oh, no, you're seeing her. She's not a real child that's here. That is not a child that's walking around the museum without a parent." And I was like, "Oh." And so she just kept following us the whole way. And we were going through looking at some of the memorabilia and the, you know, just different things. And we got to this one section where they had the stars that the Jewish people wore during the Holocaust, and they had next to them passports of people who had worn the stars who had passed away, and my daughter stops dead still, and she looks at me, and she goes, "Mom." And I said, "What?" And she pointed at one of the passports next to a child's star. And I looked, and it was the same little girl I had just seen. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and all of a sudden the lights over us started flickering. And then the lights in the entire museum started flickering. And the guy's like, the tour guide guy who was like kind of there to answer questions, not really kind of walk you around, but he's there to answer questions. And he was like, hang on a second. This has never happened before. And we kind of just looked at each other and we're like, was this the trip? And she's like, I don't know. And at the same time, we both felt a tug on the back of our shirt, like a little child trying to get your attention. So I turned around looking down, thinking there's going to be a child here, and there was nothing there. And right at that moment, we see literally this woman just come out of one of the displays. And the little girl goes running towards her, and the mom is holding what looks like a doll. And she just, you know, grabs the little girl up, and they're just holding each other, and they both just looked over and faded, like they didn't exist anymore. And my daughter and I just kind of were both standing there like, what just happened? And I've been trying to do research on four spirits that exist, whether there are spirits who are trying to find, I don't want to say a key, but like a person that they can connect with that can help them cross over. Because both my daughter and I felt very, very strongly that that little girl just crossed over with her mom, and that somehow they had been separated. Whether they were separated where her mom maybe died in the Holocaust and she didn't, I don't know. Because the passport we looked at was, or the ID card that we looked at was of somebody, they told us was of somebody who had passed. But I really don't know. I mean, we don't really know for sure any of that information, especially with children, because sometimes children were, you know, taken in by families and renamed and, you know, to hide them. So I don't know ultimately what had ever happened. But it was a very weird situation. And my husband's gotten very used to strange stuff happening when we go places sometimes. But it was very strange how, as all that happened, the power just went crazy in the museum. And I said to the guy, I said, that was really strange. He goes, this has never happened. He's like, we have really great electricity. He's like, I just went and checked the power box. There's no reason why it should have been fluctuating. He's like, we have a call an electrician to see if he can figure out where the surge was. And I thought, you don't need to bother because he's not going to find anything. And my daughter and I, to this day, we still talk about that moment because, you know, I kind of feel guilty that we were the only two who got to see that, because it was a beautiful moment and it was a beautiful thing. And, you know, however this little girl ended up following us from Colorado to Illinois, to St. Louis, Missouri on a class trip, we don't know. It's very confusing as to how all that happened. I've never heard of anyone else having that happen. But I mean, this little girl followed her for years. And in the end, I guess she got where she was supposed to be. But it was definitely a very strange situation that I really can't quite put my finger on.
I think that's such a beautiful story, mm-hmm. you know, and I almost wonder if, was her name Lynn? If mm-hmm. Lynn's daughter almost kind of felt sad when the little girl was gone, because this little girl had kind of followed her and been around her whole life, and now she's crossed over. And it's like, how did the little girl know that Lynn's daughter was going to be the one that was able to lead her to where she needed to go to cross over?
I don't know. That's a real kind of open-ended thing.
Yeah,
you don't really have the answer to it. What I'm wondering is, you know, at the end she said, I feel bad that we were the only two people who got to see this. I wonder if there was the only two people who were able to see it. Like,
yeah.
Had there been other people in that room at that time, would they have been able to see it? Or was this something that was only being projected at them because of the role that they were playing in this?
I very much feel like they were the only two that were supposed to see it, because it was a mother and daughter being reunited because of a mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like just knowing, you know, what mm-hmm. the mother would be feeling and what the daughter would be feeling.
Sure.
They're the only ones that would really understand that.
Yeah. Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here, Lynn. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to Ryan the Skeptic. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Ryan the Skeptic from Kansas City. And been thinking about you guys because I had a possibly unexplained experience. Well, very unexplained experience that could be natural, could be not. I honestly don't know. But it was interesting enough that I thought I might put a call into the show and see if you guys would enjoy it or if the my fellow listeners might enjoy hearing it. So it happened last week. You know, it was a late night, 4 in the morning. And just to give you a little background, I live in the Westport area of Kansas City in an older apartment building, 4 floors, a single apartment on every floor. So I know all my neighbors, all wonderful people. Hey, Sammy, be nice. It's my dog, Sammy. He likes to talk. And anyway, it's 4 in the morning, and I wake up from a distant scream. And my first thought is that, you know, I'm dreaming. I couldn't remember what I was dreaming about, but, you know, Occam's razor, simplest explanation is usually correct. And at the time, I was scared, and it was easy to think, hey, you know, I dreamt this. But then I heard, I could swear I heard it a second time, from somewhere in the building, somewhere distant. And so I grapple with the notion of being the guy that hears a scream and decides not to go do something if there is something going on in the building. And so I decided to man up. I, even though I was in my PJs, and I took my hunting knife, which is about a foot and a half long, and I leave my apartment. I go down to the basement, which is kind of a scary place, even during a sunny day, and open the door, walk in, pull the chains to turn the lights on, check in all the dark corners everywhere, and there's nothing there. So, with a supreme act of will, I turn the lights back off and walk out of my dark basement, shut the door behind me, and I go up to the first floor apartment and wait outside my neighbor's door for about 30 seconds. Don't hear anything. And I do the same with the second and third and fourth floor. Didn't hear anything there either. And I'm working myself up a little bit at this point just with the thought that something is happening and I can't figure out what it is. But at the same time, I didn't want to knock on my neighbor's doors and piss off my entire building. So I decide to check the outside of the building. And I open up our very creaky front door and step outside in my PJs with my long knife. And I'm looking out on a front yard. And to my right, at the end of the porch, I hear a rustling. And at this point, you know, there hasn't been a lot of leaves falling. But there's some, you know, and I walk over very slowly and I try to peek over the edge without actually going to the edge. Hey, Sammy. Sammy says hello. and there's nothing there. You know, I could have sworn I heard something stepping through the plant life there, but there's nothing. And then I think, okay, I need to check behind the building because the way our fence is set up, there's a place that's cordoned off a little on the back and far side of the building where we park and next to the other wall of the building. So I'm walking back to our parking lot with my knife in my PJs, 4 in the morning, and slowly just trying to be really quiet because I do not know what's happening. Don't know if there might be somebody back there. And I look up the steps to one of the neighbor's apartments, and I don't see anyone on their steps or their porch. No one on the back porch of the front floor apartment. But as I'm rounding the corner of the building, I hear that rustling again. Very distinctly sounds like footsteps. And I'm terrified. You know, so no screams though, so there's that. But I very slowly walk over to that part of the fence that runs along the length of that side of the building. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm trying to see as much as I can without actually coming into line of sight of that area. And I don't hear anything else. And I don't see anything else. And I could swear this is all so real. But I don't know. You know, I do know that I thought you guys would enjoy that. I took a peek through the fence to see if there was anyone in the parking lot on the other side. There wasn't anybody there either. So, it's kind of an interesting experience. Thankfully, it was nothing. Anyway, I hope you enjoy my story. I enjoy everyone else's stories, and I'm glad I can have something to share with the group. And I'll keep listening. Happy Halloween, and take care.
I don't know how many times Ryan's going to have an experience before we stop calling him Ryan the Skeptic.
Oh, he'll always be a skeptic.
And he's been with us a long time. I mean, yeah. He's been with us from the beginning. So. Yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes, folks, it's just easier to say you're skeptical than accept some of it because I understand. It's dark, it's creepy, it's messed up, and it's not exactly comforting to know that some of this stuff exists. Mm-mm. So, hey, if Ryan wants to stay a skeptic, that's fine. Even if eventually he has the librarian from Ghostbusters living in his house with him. It's like, no, that's just... That's just kind of, you know, I don't know. It's a projector from the neighbors, you know, it's shooting the lights, and it's just a refraction. And she talks sometimes.
And this case may very well have not been paranormal, but it was still creepy as all get out. I mean, you hear a scream and then rustling, but still don't find anybody.
It's what I was thinking is here he is wandering around outside his building with a knife.
Yeah.
At night. And I'm thinking of more so a living person just kind of coming around the corner, maybe like walking out, taking their dog out or mm-hmm. something. And then like, here's this man with a knife wielding in the air. That might not end so well for Ryan, where he's like, oh, I'm looking for I heard a scream. You know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. You got to explain yourself pretty quick.
They're going to think you're the reason for the scream.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So it could have completely flip-flopped that it would have ended up being. Much like that episode or that show that was on HBO where the guy was accused of murder or whatnot.
Yeah.
What was that called?
The Night Of.
The Night Of, mm-hmm. Yes. But thank you, Ryan, for the call. We greatly appreciate that. And thank you for listening. We love your support. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Brewskies. I am going to remain anonymous for now, but I really wanted to share some stories. I truly enjoy listening to your show. I've recently allowed myself to be entertained by paranormal stories. I have a lifetime of scenarios, instances, stories that I could share with you, but I did want to get this one off my chest. My entire family has had several stories and occurrences that happened to them. So I really think it's something within our family bloodline that we have been attacked by entities and demons specifically. But anyway, so and this happened to my sister more, and hopefully I can get her to call in. She's got some terrifying stories. But we were younger. I was in junior high at the time. I'm in my 40s now, but we lived in this old house. It was in a rural part of our town, and it was a two-story house. Her and I had a bedroom upstairs. She had the smaller room, and it kind of had the A-frame where the roof was right above her bed. And she had a cross that my mom had given her hanging above her bed, and she never wanted to sleep in there. When we had talked about it later, not at the time, she said that every single night the cross would fly across her room and land on the floor opposite of where, and that made her uncomfortable. So we just, you know, we let her sleep wherever she wanted to. She would either sleep with myself or my mother, and we didn't think really much of it at the time. And then one day I had come home from school and my sister was in the kitchen with my mother, and I was dead asleep. When my sister comes running upstairs and she is angry with me and she's not so much hitting me, but she's pushing me and saying, what is your problem? And mind you, I was in junior high, so she was in primary. And she was very angry, and I was upset because when you take a nap, you don't want to be woken up that way. And I said, what is your problem? And she said, why were you doing that to me? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you were downstairs, you were looking out the window, and you were yelling at me. And I said, no, I wasn't. I've been up here asleep. And the look on her face, she just turned white, and I could tell that she was upset. And I said, well, explain to me what happened. So she was, she had gone outside to get our dog while she was in the kitchen with our mom. She had went outside to get the dog, and she looked in the window, and I, or somebody that looked like me, had opened up the curtain and was yelling, and she would tell me stop it because I looked funny. And she, everything that she would say, the person on the other side of the window would repeat what she was saying. And so it became scary to her. So she came back inside, and she didn't see anybody, so she ran upstairs, and that's where she woke me up. And so she became really upset and frightened at that time. And it was a couple weeks later, she told me she was outside with the dog again, and she had seen this figure appear in the middle of a field, because we live next to an open field. She said that this thing, this dark object, had appeared to her, and it would stare at her. And so whenever she would move, the entire body would turn towards her. And so we were brought up in a Christian household, so we know how to battle this, because she was very frightened at that time. And she started praying, and she was kind of yell praying, to fight this thing. And it started morphing into different objects, and it would just throw its head back like it was screaming. You couldn't really hear it, but it was just morphing and screaming, and then it just disappeared. And this, whatever it was, has followed us into our adulthood, more her than I. But come to find out, my mom had told us, because we were terrified, obviously, what was happening in that house, which we moved out of. But when we first rented that house, there was several items that were being, catalogs that were being mailed to the house about witchcraft and different kinds of herbs and books and incantations that you can purchase. So something must have been going on in that house that triggered this entity to start attacking us. Again, I don't know if it has anything to do with what was following us as a family, or if, I don't know. But I'm just curious to hear what you think. That's one of many. I will call in at another time to share other stories that are terrifying. Our adventures with the paranormal have not been positive. So my sister and I, about engaging in anything paranormal, because it's not fun, it's not a game, it's not something that you mess around with, because they have really terrified us, not just our close family, meaning my sister and myself, but aunts, uncles, cousins. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. But hopefully I can hear this on your show. Thanks.
What is this in the mailbox? A copy of Ouija Today?
Yeah, I kind of feel like whoever was living there before may have been doing something they shouldn't have been doing in that house, and may have opened something up,
mm-hmm.
either intentionally or unintentionally. Either way, it's kind of like they left it open. But that is the, I think, one of the worst type of ghosts, is the ones that show up looking just like you, the doppelgangers,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're aggressive.
Oh, if it's transforming from this to that, that's scary. That's where you really, you don't know what you're dealing with, and those are typically not the ones that have the ease of being eliminated of, hey, please stop doing this, or sage this, or salt this, or,
yeah.
you know, 8 herbs and spice this, or seven. What is it?
Seven herbs and spice this.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that works too if you get the recipe right.
Not at all.
That would probably actually, if I were the ghost, it would attract me. It would make me.
I don't think it even works on food.
I would totally stick around if someone was sprinkling KFC powder everywhere, especially if they were like hot chickening it, and Nashville hot chickening like door frames instead of like salt or goat blood. They were just putting the Nashville hot chicken sauce.
We gotta go before that's gone.
Over door frames.
We gotta drive the 30 miles and go get our hot chicken at KFC.
Yeah, we should. And this is not an endorsement for KFC at all.
No, we just are nuts about the Memphis hot chicken.
Is
it Memphis or Nashville?
Nashville.
Nashville hot chicken.
You're confused because there's a restaurant in town that does Memphis, and it's not it's not that. It's like a, I don't know what that even is, but it's...
Lies.
But I want to actually try like the real stuff. Like, we should just go to Nashville and try the real thing, not from the fast food restaurant. But
I'm
like,
game. Road trip. Let's go.
That would be, I'd love to try the real thing. The thing is, it would probably then ruin it for the only accessible way we have of getting it in this area, which is at the fast food restaurant. Because it'd be so good. It'd be like, you know, like getting a frozen Big Mac in the mail. You're like, this is not the same as a real.
But if we go to Nashville and we have hot chicken that's out of this world, and we know we can only have hot chicken like that in Nashville, it will stop us from driving 30 miles to get bad chicken.
That's true.
At the shitty KFC.
That's true. You know, or we may end up going, I think I like the fast food one better.
Really?
I've done that before with some food.
Well, we have to go to several different restaurants there in Nashville.
Yeah, just eat a lot of it and bring a lot of Depends along.
Oh, God.
Because
Nobody needs to know about that.
The idea of like binging on hot, like 4 hot chicken restaurants in a day, and then you have to go get back in the car and then let's go drive back to here. And that's a long drive. That could end badly, especially if there's a long stretch where, all the gas stations are closed.
You just assume I'm not going to let you go to the bathroom.
No, I'm not assuming. I'm just telling you I'm not assuming you're not going to let me go to the bathroom. I'm assuming I'm not going to have a lot of control of that functionality.
That's gross.
That's where I'm coming to. It's not that you're going to trap me in the car.
Okay.
Just, should we keep going down this road?
No, I think we're good. We're done.
Or we could just find a recipe and try making it at
home.
I'm
now looking out the window. I can't make eye contact.
Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, how are you? My name is Fatima and I'm from Hungary. I've been a huge, huge fan of your show for years now, and I usually listen to it while cooking, like chopping up vegetables and stuff like that. It's my favorite thing ever. And I was listening to it the other night while making dinner, and there was a story that really caught my attention because it reminded me of one of the things that happened to me and my mom a couple years back. It's very important to know that at the time my dad was still alive. Unfortunately, he died in 2007. And this happened a couple months before his death. So basically, now I'm 22, so I was about 11 or 12 years old when this happened. And as a little kid, I was really, really scared to sleep alone. So whenever it was time to go to sleep or go to bed, I would like be so scared and frightened, because I guess I had such a rich imagination that I was convinced that if I'm going to be left alone, then a monster is going to come and get me. But on the other hand, even then, I was really, really interested in the paranormal. So whenever I had the opportunity and my parents didn't pay attention, I would like watch documentaries and stuff like that on different channels on TV. And at school, we even made these huge, long conversations about paranormal stuff with my classmates. So it was always something that that had a huge part in my life, because I was so interested in it. So as I couldn't sleep alone, I ended up in my parents' bed. And I know it's a bad habit, but I just couldn't sleep in any way if I wasn't with them, or at least with my mom, because my dad unfortunately ended up in the living room or in my bed in the other room because their bed was too small to fit us comfortably. So I was sleeping next to my mom, and I fell asleep, and I had this really weird dream where my dad died. And I didn't see it happen. I just knew that he was gone. I knew that he was no longer with us, and I can clearly remember this eerie feeling of not having him physically in this world next to us and missing him. So it was a really bad feeling. It was the kind of dream that sticks with you throughout the next day. And when I woke up, my mom could see that something was wrong, and even she looked a little off. And she asked me what the problem was, and I told her about my dream, and she stops and looks at me with this huge, surprised and frightened eyes, like, "Oh my God, I just had the same exact dream as you. Now what?" Like, we weren't about to, like, close up my dad into my room or something and not letting him out into the world to do his job and stuff, because obviously death is something, even if you get such a clear sign that maybe in the near future you are going to have to deal with this stuff, even then, I don't think there's anything you can possibly physically do to avoid it, because it's fate. I mean fate, not faith. I'm sorry, my English is sometimes a little off, but so you can't really avoid fate. And we told my dad what happened, and we tried to joke about it and then just, you know, like, ignore it. But obviously that day I was really, really off and really creeped out by the fact that both of us had the same exact dream. Which happens a lot with us, I mean, not the dream thing, but the stuff, the kind of stuff that mother and daughter has, you know, if you have a really close relationship, like, she calls me at the exact same moment when I think about her, and vice versa, you know? So that kind of thing, or we weirdly finish each other's sentences. So it's probably our bond that makes it even stronger. But after my dad passed away, which was, as I already mentioned, a couple months after this dream thing happened, our bond became even stronger. And I also want to mention that my dad passed so quickly, like, it was such an unexpected death. We completely forgot about this, what happened to us when he passed away. Like, it was a month after that we got back to our routines, you know, we couldn't really care less, and he had a heart attack, and it wasn't something we could be prepared for. So that kind of proves how death is unavoidable, you know. So yeah, this is getting way too long, so I'm gonna wrap it up here, but thank you for letting me share it, and I hope you'll be able to use this in your podcast. I love you very much, and have a happy Halloween. Bye.
And thank you for that call. I think that you can be sensitive and be empathic with people that you're close to, like your mom or sister or somebody like that. And I think it's completely different, though, when you guys are having the same dream. I think that's taking it one more step to another level of something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thinking about each other and somebody calls at the same time, or wearing the same clothes and not planning it, and things like that happen. But I think having the exact same dream at the same time is different.
I agree. I think you become like super empath. I think it's one of those like levels of, we were talking the other day, you know, the levels of sensitivity, if you mm-hmm. will, where it's, you know, some folks are at, you know, kind of the ground level, and then it just kind of goes up from there to the folks that can see the full, you know, they think it's another person
yeah.
walking around and it's a ghost, and other folks maybe picking it up as just kind of out of the corner of their eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think that too, what you're talking about is on that same level.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We greatly appreciate your call. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do one more caller before we wrap up the show today. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, guys. I think I called probably last year at some point. A story about the woman who was a maid in Mexico, and they heard a bunch of noise in the room next to them, and then they went over there, and there was nothing was out of place. I'm actually calling you with another story that is not my story. It's a friend of mine. Her mother goes to Mexico every couple of weeks. We live in Texas, so we live very close to the border. It's about a 7-hour drive. And she goes over there to go to the doctor or run errands or run her business that they have over there. And over there, they don't really drive. She doesn't drive, so she takes one of those, they're like little, we call them combis in Spanish or peseras, and they're little buses that you just take, like little VW bugs or like VW, like the vans or just vans essentially, and they pick up people at different stops, like a bus essentially. And she was taking, I guess, the bus down to another part of Monterrey. Monterrey or Matamoros, the both towns near the border. And she apparently, it was just her and the driver on the bus, on the little peseta. And apparently, I mean, you can't press a button or anything like a bus would to stop. You just say, baja, which means I want to get off. And so they're driving down the road, and it's just her and the bus driver, or the driver, and apparently at one point they hear something say, baja, or I want to get off, and he looks at my friend's mother, and he's like, you want to get off here? And she's like, I didn't say anything, and he's like, there's nobody else on the little bus with them, it's just her and him, and so they're like, did you hear that? And she looks at him and she goes, yeah, I heard it. But there's no one on the bus, little bus with them. But apparently someone wanted to get off the bus. They were like, that was really weird. But that's how it ended. And they were just like, okay, that was strange. And then they're like, they went about their day. But I thought it was really funny that somebody wanted to get off the bus and it wasn't her, and it obviously wasn't the driver. So I thought it was just a really funny story. So that's it. All right. Thank you, guys. I love your show. I'm an EPP. Definitely worth it if you're thinking about it, because I don't even have a job, really, and I can afford $5 a month. So I'm pretty sure if I can, it's not that hard. So, all right. Thank you. Bye.
I think it would really suck to be a ghost that has to still use public transportation.
That really, that really kind of kills one of those things that you think of maybe a perk of death.
You can just blink and you're wherever you want to go.
Exactly. Teleporting, walking through walls, mm-hmm. or just being able to kind of get there, maybe almost as if you're on an infinite, what are they called? The scooters that you stand on.
Segway.
A Segway, yes. Like you're like kind of on an infinite Segway because you see the ghost kind of float through. It's like, oh, I have a Segway and I don't even have to be standing in one of those really messed up looking devices. Unfortunately, I don't think you get all those perks. I think it's kind of a letdown. It's
at
one of those.
Some of them don't.
It says it on the box, and then you find out you got to like send in 42 UPCs to get the special prize.
Right.
It's all bullshit. When you're dead, you're still taking the bus.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
It's just not fair. Thank you for the story. We appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. And hey, sign up to be a yearly EPP, and you will get a bunk bed bell when you email bunkbedbell@realghoststoriesonline.com. Your info from signing up. Yeah, just let me know about that and where to send that bunk bed bell, and I'll go and drop it in the mail for you this week. That's a little thank you for supporting the show on a yearly basis. So when you do it for a year, actually, you get a month free as well. So it's a bunk bed bell and a free month.
There you go.
Because it's only 55 a year. It's not a full 60, which would be five a month. So free month and a bunk bed bill when you sign up for a year-long membership to our EPP program. That's at ghostpodcast.com, so check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.